The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, 10:01 ESPN 97.5. If you want to get in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Kirk Herbstreit and David Pollack had a doomsday college football playoff scenario. If Florida wins and Clemson wins, Florida beats Alabama, Clemson beats Notre Dame. Both are in, right?
Yes.
Those are championship games. Clemson is in.
I do believe
and Florida's in.
The strength of those two, the two losers of that game, would keep them in and knock Ohio State out.
So that's the question. A champion Ohio State team versus runners-up in their conferences.
The one who's vulnerable is Notre Dame. Because
yeah, Alabama's not.
Alabama's not going anywhere.
Yeah, Alabama's in.
Alabama, now it's funny because depending on how they look in that game, all of a sudden you knock Alabama down back to the pack. But currently, as they stand, everyone believes they're far and away better than the others.
Well, they've already got better wins than everybody with A&M and Georgia.
But even how they've looked on the field, no one's challenging them. Even in the games Clemson has won, the Notre Dame loss stands out. But I've talked about it before. Syracuse was in the game and late in the third quarter, maybe early in the fourth quarter. A Syracuse team they're favored by over 40 against or something like that. And Boston College had a big lead at the half. Alabama does not have one of those on their resume. They appear to be invincible, but we've seen this from Alabama. They've lost before, but currently they're a step above. Notre Dame would be the one they'd have to worry.
So I'm listening. I didn't hear the whole conversation, but I heard the end of Fred and AJ yesterday. And Fred, they did. I think they both just just dismissed Texas A&M's chances. And I would wholeheartedly disagree. Alabama's the favorite against Florida. Florida loses, they're out. First of all, A&M beat them, and they'd have two losses. Florida's out if Alabama beats them. And Alabama's going to be a big favorite against them. So that's the most likely scenario. And then secondly, Notre Dame beats Clemson. They're two losses. They're out. So you've got Alabama, you've got Notre Dame, and you've got Ohio State. A&M could very well move into that fourth spot.
Correct.
Yeah, and it's not... It's the underdog because Clemson is going to be favored against Notre Dame, but it's not a huge underdog.
Yeah. It's going to be tough for Clemson or Notre Dame to beat Clemson the second time, particularly with their defensive players coming back. Although Skalski missed another game, he might have suited up against Virginia Tech, but didn't play.
Let's face it, the kid played great.
Yeah, I'm not discussing their offense. They had a lot of defensive absences, and maybe their biggest one was Skalski, and he doesn't appear right. So if he's not right for that game, it would help Notre Dame's cause. Their inside linebacker for Clemson. Yeah, I mean, the scenario is for A&M pretty straightforward. I mean, you have your biggest challenge left off the table because Ole Miss, that game's not going to be played. You want to get the Tennessee game in because it provides one more data point, and you want to go out there and beat the crap out of them. It's straightforward and not out of the question.
No, and I think this. I disagree with Jimbo. I think A&M missing this week hurts them, and I disagree with them. Well, if we got to have style, you got to have style points. Sorry,
I mean
Alabama has style points.
He alluded to how we're in the wrong spot with the ball, as he called it. If style points are necessary, well,
they're necessary.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to what the game is.
Welcome to this has been forever in college football. What are you talking about, Coach?
It's always been that way.
It's always
it's
been
still
that
subjective.
Way.
It's not objective. The numbers for the BCS made it a bit more, but even still, you had voters in the polls voting, and that contributed to it. You have men and women who are going to decide whether your team makes the playoff. It depends on what you look like doing it.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
And you know what? I think it's not. It's the second most likely scenario, if you want to know the truth. The most likely scenario is Alabama and Clemson winning.
Yes. And Ohio State, whether they play
And Ohio State's going to win. Yeah. We're just assuming Ohio State's going to win. The Big Ten sucks.
Yeah, there's no challenge.
There's no challenge. Ohio State is probably, well, Alabama's a lock, but they're the most likely. Now, the next scenario, if Notre Dame wins, Florida and Notre Dame winning, Alabama's still going to be in.
Yeah.
But Florida beating Alabama, that's not the second most likely scenario. The second most likely scenario is Alabama and Notre Dame winning.
Correct.
So the second most likely scenario is A&M is in the playoff.
Yes. I didn't hear the conversation you heard, but...
No, they Fred, yeah, listen, everybody, A&M's not getting in.
Based on
I don't
what?
Know.
What did he base it on?
I don't know. I didn't hear the whole conversation. I heard toward the end.
He must... I don't know. I would have to hear it. But the only reason I would think you believe that such a lock is you believe Clemson's not losing to Notre Dame again.
Yeah. Right.
Because... any other, if they do, then A&M's getting in.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about how style points matter. Jimbo might not believe it. Just look at another one-loss team from a major conference. Miami's 9-8-1, I think, could go to 9-1 this week. You know why they're still only at 10? Because their one chance to impress people, they got beat by 25 points at Clemson. And they don't have a Florida win on their resume. They are a name brand school who is 8-1, and they're not sniffing because the one time they had a shot, they didn't impress, and they had no other opportunity. So style points matter. They matter. Maybe they shouldn't, but they do.
Well, and I'm not dismissing Notre Dame beating Clemson. Uyagalele?
Uyagalele.
What is it?
Uyagalele.
Uyagalele?
Uyagalele.
Uyagalele.
Yeah.
Uyagalele. So we're throwing an N in there just like what Tagovailoa? Why are we throwing an N in there? There's no N in his name.
Uyagalele.
Uyagalele. Yeah. That's yeah. Uyagalele played pretty damn... That dude played now. He was 67%, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. They didn't miss a beat with him in there. And so that Trevor Lawrence could lose to them. We've seen Trevor Lawrence not look great in postseason.
Yeah, now
he's been sometimes not great.
Yeah.
So Notre Dame's defense might do something against them. I'm not saying that Clemson's not a lock to beat Notre Dame.
Now, Notre Dame's defense didn't have any answers as that game went on, but it'll be a different quarterback. We'll see if they're better equipped now that they've seen Clemson once to play them and be better. And that's a game that's in – it's not in South Carolina, but it's in Clemson's backyard in North Carolina. Notre Dame fans will travel. That won't be a question, but it'll be – it'll be probably, 55-45 Clemson? Yeah, although I don't even know how many people will be there, so who knows. But, yeah, I don't think it's a lock. Clemson has shown some vulnerabilities, and Notre Dame will run at them and test them again. We'll see what their defensive additions being back, if it still works. But this Clemson team is probably the least talented team we've seen since Deshaun got them going.
Mm-hmm.
As far as particularly on defensive talent in the front, they got some young guys who are really good, but they don't have any. The linebackers are just okay. Now their big thing was if they did see Alabama, their DBs are probably the best they've had. At least their cornerbacks are really, really good. But I'm with you, A&M. You look at how it'll go. The second likeliest thing is them making it as long as they beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
In a couple Saturdays.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the most likely thing to happen, too.
Yeah.
They're better than Tennessee. Tennessee blows. John is here. What's up, John? Wants to talk a little college football. Hey, John.
Yeah, I had a question. You say if Notre Dame beats Clemson, the Aggies could have a chance. But what about if Clemson beats Notre Dame, then Notre Dame and the Aggies would both have one loss, and the Aggies would have lost to the best team in the country. Why doesn't that put them ahead of Notre Dame?
Because Notre Dame, you know what? That's a good question. I think it would be between them. If Alabama beats Florida, and it would be between Notre Dame and Texas A&M. Notre Dame made its championship game. Texas A&M didn't. The only loss that Texas A&M. Then it would come down to, you know what? What's a better loss, Clemson? And then it would come down to
how bad did Notre Dame lose? If Notre Dame loses because, a one-score game.
Yeah, A&M lost pretty badly. Well, I think it was 52-24.
Yeah.
A&M lost pretty badly to Alabama.
Now,
that is Alabama, though.
It's a long time ago, but yeah.
Stuck in, Yeah, they stuck it until halftime, but then they got blown away in the second half.
Yeah,
but, yeah, I understand that. But,
yeah, but so it'll be, it would be, and again, it's by style points. Is if Notre Dame plays Clemson tough, they probably go ahead of A&M. If Clemson blows them out, and that's the last thing we remember seeing in Notre Dame, and we've seen Notre Dame in the playoff before, you can't tell me that that doesn't matter. A&M might get that.
Right.
So, but all right, but it depends on how well they play, obviously. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's even Clemson winning, there's a shot for A&M.
If Clemson does to Notre Dame what some people thought they would have done the first time around, but I think it has to be more, because Clemson was favored in that first game. Clemson would have to put on one of those no-doubt performances where it looks like the Notre Dame of old, where they get run off the field, and then does anyone have an appetite to watch Notre Dame play maybe Clemson again and for a third time? Because what happens? Let's say in this scenario that John's bringing up, the possibility of A&M getting in, but let's say they don't get in, but Notre Dame gets blown out. If Notre Dame fall to 4 and see Alabama, or do they stay or they go fall to 3 and see Clemson again? Would Ohio State jump over? Because would they manufacture matchups so you don't see a third time? Because if they're dropping Notre Dame to 4, why do I want to see that Notre Dame team that we just saw get blown out go play Alabama again? So that'll be the question. Do you want to see Notre Dame play Alabama, or do you want to see A&M get a rematch? These are the things they'll probably have to figure out if that scenario of a blowout happens.
If it's a close game.
Oh, they're in.
If it's a close game and Clemson wins.
Do they?
Clemson jumps to 2. Ohio State is 3. Notre Dame is 4.
Even though realistically it should probably be dropping a spot and it'd be a 2-3 and they would see each other again. But they would drop them to 4 because they don't want a third game.
Probably. More than likely. Or that you could argue, well, Ohio State's undefeated and Notre Dame's got a loss.
Yeah, understood. But Clemson's not undefeated and they're still above Ohio State.
Yeah, but they've got a better win immediately beating Notre Dame.
No, that's what I'm saying. Saying is currently without the Notre Dame win, Clemson's still above Ohio State. So why would you drop Notre Dame behind
Clemson's
Ohio
behind
State?
Clemson's behind Ohio State. Clemson's 4.
No, they're 3.
No, they're 4.
In the college football playoffs?
Oh, this is the AP.
Yeah, in the college football playoffs, they're 3.
Oh, they're 3.
So why would you drop Notre Dame to 4 if it's a close game? See, the only reason you would do it to avoid the third time.
Well, you can, but regardless, you still you would drop a one-loss team behind Ohio State because they lost the game.
But there's a one-loss team already ahead of Ohio State. That's what I'm saying. So why would you drop
that? Right, but they have a better win. They beat Notre Dame. Ohio State doesn't have a marquee win.
Currently, Clemson's ahead of Ohio State, and Clemson doesn't have a marquee win unless you give them the Miami win. So if Notre Dame loses to Clemson, now they have one loss.
Well, because of recency, because they just lost.
No, the only reason you would do it is to avoid the 2-3 again, because it's a close loss. Notre Dame still has their Clemson win.
Yeah. You don't want to play three times.
That's the only reason you would do it.
Unless it was a really good game and you go, hey, let's see that again.
Yes, but do they think the country wants to see it, and will they manufacture a way for it not to be seen?
Maybe. Yeah, you know they manufacture these things. Yes, you know it as well as anybody, how they manipulate matchups. So, yes, absolutely, that could happen. And maybe not. If it's a great game and everybody goes, hey, we need to see the rubber game. Clemson 1-1, Notre Dame 1-1. Let's see who we got to find out who is the better team. We'll find out right now by playing them right away. I know this about Mark Klein and Klein's Jewelry. It is the best damn place to buy your jewelry because I've bought a ton there. And this holiday season, I'm telling you, I don't want to put a number out there, but you can do this. You can get her something really cool, a pendant, earrings, a necklace. You can get her that ring this holiday season. You can tell Mark what you want, and he will make it for you. You can call and do it over the phone. You can email him a picture of something, and he will make that. He's a manufacturer in a retail store, but what you can do now that you couldn't do before is you can do everything online. You don't even have to go to the store. So if you're up in the Woodlands, if you're I can't take advantage of Mark Klein because I'm so far away. Well, guess what? Now you can do it all online and take advantage of the great prices. Just go to Kleins, K-L-E-I-N-S, KleinsJewelry.org. KleinsJewelry.org. And you're going to see the selection. Like, how about 190,000 different diamonds that are all warehouse, that are all manufacturer's prices, not retail, manufacturer's prices. So go to KleinsJewelry.org and see for yourself. 832-316-1388 if you want to talk to him about it. Or you can stop by his showroom at 5868 Westheimer Road. It's right there at Fountain View in Westheimer. Easy to get to. Wonderful place this holiday season, Kleins Jewelry.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Well, I didn't see this. Here's an addendum to the James Harden saga. And you know what? And Lance and I were talking about this, and just the drama in the NBA with this guy. I mean, Lance was, it's just disgusting. This guy said this about me on a podcast, and this guy, and I don't want to play with this guy, and I don't like this guy anymore. And oh my goodness, just so much. It's just turned into, it's turned into such a soap opera. And I'm not going to play, and I'm not going to play with him, and I want to load manage, and I'm going to, it's just, I don't know if it's this culture, it's this era of NBA, but boy, it lost all of its, it's lost, I mean, it used to be a tough league. I mean, where guys were just beating each other up in the lane, and
Magic was kissing dudes,
clotheslining each other, and yeah, Bill Laimbeer, and I mean, it was just, yeah, Magic kissed a dude. Oh, well, you keep going back to the same. No, that's your same.
That's where he'll stay.
That's your watermelon, okay? You keep going back to the same thing every single time.
It's not mine. It's actually,
well, you keep saying it.
It's a tribute. Raheel's
dead and gone, and you keep saying it.
I said it once. It's my tribute to Raheel. That's
all. Okay. So, it's just, oh my goodness.
And by the way, I don't think clothesline a dude is tough. It's kind of, it's cheap, but I get your point that the media stuff, it wasn't a thing.
Well, they didn't have social media then either.
Yeah.
But there's zero argument for that it was a tougher league. Zero argument that it was a tougher league. This is now there are people around the league, allegedly. Zach Lowe says this during a discussion with Tim McMahon on the Low Post podcast. I've already heard from, I don't know, 3-4 people out of the blue today who don't work for the Rockets but work for the other 29 teams, saying the league has to step in and do something about this. This is not okay. This is going to become the latest referendum on player empowerment, and when does it go too far? I think it's a nuanced and fascinating topic, but it's already spiraling out of control. the Rockets are obviously clinging to hope that they can compete this season as a way of getting Harden back on board. Well, I mean, it's not like it. Again, Kawhi, was that all up on the, was that on the up and up? Kawhi just sat for a year, didn't he? He just decided, yeah, not playing.
Said he didn't trust the training staff, yeah, or the Spurs, lost trust in them, and decided he wasn't going to play for them anymore.
Well, I'm going to play. I'm done playing for you. You know, Anthony Davis pulled his stunt, and he got out. Now it'll be interesting to see, with 2 years left on his deal and a player option on top of it, whether or not James Harden. And what do the Rockets do? Do they acquiesce? Because a team that's going to want James might want more, because I ain't giving up all kinds of draft picks and really good players for James Harden with just 2 years and a player option left. Can I get that $103 million extension on his deal? Because then I'll give up
It depends on
a
who
yacht
you are.
For him.
It depends on who you are. By the way, James will be 32, 33 at the end of the. I don't know if it's the two year team option or the team stuff or the player option. I don't remember what his age will be. But by the way, I'm not sure you're gonna want to pay James what he might want at 33. You're gonna have to figure that out. I mean, not everyone's LeBron, where there's no fall off, it appears, and he's still a clear max player. So, but for 2 years of James, and you think he's gonna put you over the top? I bet you a lot of teams would. Go back to Pat Riley, who's always championships or bust. He gave up. Now, these players didn't turn out to be greats, but he gave up Lamar Odom, Caron Butler, and another player, maybe a first-round pick for Shaq. And Shaq was only good for 2 years. You know what? The Heat would do it all over again because they won a title. Now, and this was an older Shaq, not the prime Shaq, but it was still enough when you paired him with Dwayne Wade. So if your team, I don't know who that team would be, because we've seen enough of James, and I don't know who he's putting over the top. But if you think he puts you over the top, you'll give up that for 2 years of championship contention.
Yeah, but you can make the argument that, you know what, you can lessen the what you have to give back by saying, oh, he's only got 2 years left. Well, you just say, well, then sorry, we're not going to take it. But, again, I don't know how hard a stance the Rockets are going to be able to take if James just won't show up. If James decides, I'm not playing for you anymore, because you just gave leverage to the other teams. Well, he ain't playing for you. You got to take something. So you got to take this.
The player,
he'll be 33 in 2 years.
Yeah, the player option will come during the year when he's 33 years old.
So yeah, the player option, after the player option, he's 34.
Yeah, so
but you can. You eliminate the player option, extend him a couple of years.
Yeah, maybe.
And you could have him through 35 years old. And James is still going to be good. I haven't seen James slowing down at all. Now, he hit 35, and, you know, there's a good chance.
We'll see. His salary, you mentioned extension. Do you want to pay a 35, 34-year-old James Harden $50 million a year? That will be up for someone to decide, and we'll see how the next 2 years of his career goes. But I don't think the length of the deal means as much if you have the belief. Like if you told Daryl Morey, because he probably still believes that, hey, James isn't going to give you the guarantee that he's going to be here past 2 years, but you know what? Give us Ben Simmons and other things, would Daryl Morey do it? Yes, he would.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Clippers did the same thing. They only have a guarantee of Kawhi and Paul George for 2 years. There's no guarantee they'll be with them after this year. You know what they did? They gave up the boatload.
And look at what's happening.
But I understand what last year was a colossal failure when you blow a 3-1 lead.
Yep.
But they understood what the possibility was. They understood those two could leave, but they thought winning would convince them. First year didn't go well. I think if you think James puts you over the top, I don't think the length of the deal will matter. Just depends on if you believe in him.
Yeah. But again, the compensation is going to matter.
Well, that'll matter.
And
for the Rockets.
That's what the Rockets are. And you know what? That's what everybody's got to worry about right now. What's Rafael Stone going to take? What is he going to take for James Harden? This is the future of the organization, and the immediate future of the organization depends on what happens here, or what you get for James Harden, and then the future.
See the Spurs.
Listen, whoever I give him to, I don't want their draft picks. I'm hoping that they got Sacramento's pick in the next couple of years. I'm hoping that they've got Minnesota's pick over the next couple of years. I mean, because that would be, because James is going to win. Well, so the draft picks aren't going to be nearly as attractive as the players that you get back.
The team known for that right now is OKC, and are you trading them back to OKC? That's the team with all the picks from all the teams.
No, but you might do a three-player deal.
I don't know. The Rockets have told us they're willing to be uncomfortable, and the Spurs were able to hide behind, well, Kawhi's injured. Talk to Kawhi. He's not playing because he believes he's injured. We believe they thought he could play, but he's injured. He says he's injured. So the Rockets can't hide behind something like that. Everyone knows that James will be capable of playing. He just decided he doesn't want to play for you. So they said, we can be uncomfortable. Well, it's been 2 days, and already Steven Silas says, you got to talk to James about that because, I don't know. It's a setback. So are you willing to go into the year? Every day, a question being asked, where's your guy? That starts to wear on an organization. PJ Tucker already told you, I'm not talking about him.
What wears more on the organization is him not being there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It wears on, he's not there, so the questions continue, and it becomes a story. The story isn't Steven Silas and the Rockets and what are they gonna be.
No.
It's about your best player not being there and telling the whole world, the only reason keeping me from playing basketball is I'm still a Houston Rocket.
Yeah, the whole season depends on this, about James, and I don't know. I just think he's just taking a few extra days off. We'll see.
We talk about the Rockets.
Listen, he can withstand any financial burden.
Yeah, it's about his conviction of saying, I don't ever want to put on a Rockets uniform again.
Right.
If he's that convinced that this is the wrong place for him, the Rockets are going to have to work something out with someone. This can't go on for months, and I don't think it would. If they're convinced he's not going to play for them, they'll make a deal, and hopefully they get the best they can.
Yeah, it's drama. It's more drama.
At least this is actually basketball stuff. Yeah. Because all the other nonsense about who's upset with who, this is actually a guy who says, "Nah, I just don't want to play basketball for you guys anymore. Find me another spot." I can understand that. It sucks. But I don't care that someone doesn't like someone.
How about this? Nope. You can sit all year, and guess what? You still owe us 2 years. You want to come in? All right. But your clock ain't starting. Clock doesn't start on your contract.
I'd be shocked to see any organization do it, because we haven't seen it. They always acquiesce. Now the Pelicans got all they could and more. The Thunder did too. Toronto, whatever. For their guy, but Kawhi could have just signed, so it didn't matter. I feel like the Rockets are going to get somewhere in that Pacers OKC trade when Oladipo and Sabonis went to Indiana. I don't think you're getting a King's ransom.
It's bad. It's drama. Talking right now about my peeps over Hoops. That's a perfect deal. Do you want to make $200 million like James? You want a $103 million extension? Well, then your kid's got to play basketball. He's got to shoot baskets. You got to make baskets. Not shoot baskets, make baskets. And dad, how do they do that? Well, you got to get him the best goal. Why would you get him a crappy goal? And even if they're bigger, you know what? The 10-foot goal, perfect. They want to shoot. They need that 10-foot goal. It's the perfect goal. There's not a better product in the world than this Hoops goal. There is not a better goal. So you want the best goal. You want the best insulation. You want the tempered glass backboard. You want the collapsible rim. You want the stanchion that doesn't rust. You want the perfect goal. You want all the accessories with the lights and the stenciling and the net to block the ball going in the street. You want all that stuff. But littler kids, you want the net. Even the big kids like it too, because they can dunk. You want to lower the net. You want to lower the goal so that they can dunk. Or that they can actually reach the basket and make some baskets. That's what you want. And that's what you get at ProDunkHoops.com. The best goal, it's not even arguable. Listen, there's a lot of money out there in NBA play. You can't get there unless you get a goal for the kids to shoot. It's ProDunkHoops.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Del, are you going to try out for the U.S. breakdancing team?
No. But if I did and I was any good, I could win a gold medal.
An Olympic sport. I mean, do you think back in the day that they said curling? I mean, how could that be an Olympic sport?
That is always the target when someone talks about, that's stupid, rhythmic gymnastics.
Yeah.
Breakdancing. They allow curling to be an Olympic sport. Why can't breakdancing? That's an athletic.
Sweeping ice.
Yeah. At least with curling, you're that's actually an athletic skill to do all that. Breakdancing.
I don't want athletic skill. I think it's a skill.
You've never seen breakdancing before?
Breakdancing's athletic.
I misspoke when I said curling. Breakdancing,
there's
some athleticism.
Absolutely.
I can get behind that more than curling.
Yeah. No. I can't. What I don't like, though, is events that are judged. I think you got, I know you can't do it. How are you going to do it with gymnastics? How are you going to do it? Figure skating, all that stuff. But it just offers so much cheating and illicit behavior. I mean, through the years, look at what's happened in those sports.
Well, the Olympics as a whole has been filled with corruption, whether it be the athletes themselves doing things to get ahead or the judges. I mean, it's corrupt.
But shouldn't breakdancing have been like about 30 years ago added? Not now? I don't know. Are people still out there breakdancing?
It's still
That was a thing in the 80s, wasn't it?
I mean, it's still a thing because I saw when the announcement was made, countries already have teams. They just couldn't compete in the Olympics. But I don't know. I mean, it's not. Will it start a run of people breakdancing again if they see it in the Olympics?
I don't. Is it still a thing?
Yeah, kids still do it. I mean, I say that, but the last time I was even around breakdancing was when I was in high school. People would lay down the floor and they would do it. And this was back in the 2000s. So kids back then were still doing it. But it was like, but it wasn't like a popular thing. It was like, oh, those weird kids got together and now they're breakdancing because that's the only way they can find a group of people to hang out with.
I remember when I first breakdancing was a lot of mullets and Jerry curls and.
Yeah, it's the hairstyles of dancing.
And half shirts.
Well, I mean, TikTok.
The half shirts are gone.
Well, TikTok is not full of breakdancing, but it's just people getting on an app and dancing. So, I mean, people still like to dance, I guess. Now breakdancing becomes an Olympic sport.
I guess. So, I mean, I'm actually kind of interested.
I am actually, it's what the advancements of breakdancing have been, because I feel like how much progress could possibly have been made. The moves are the moves, but we'll see. I mean, that little clip I saw when they were talking about it being an Olympic sport, that looked familiar. Looked like the same thing people were doing 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, how innovative can you be? I know with the, like skateboarding or in the snow, what do they call it?
Snowboarding.
I mean, you can get, you can get intricate. You can get really dangerous. Spinning on your head is going to be.
You're still on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you mentioned those things are up in the air. You can do things, but you're still on the ground. So I guess we'll find out.
So there's hope for you to be in the Olympics.
No, I'm not a breakdancer. It wouldn't work out for me.
You're not breaking?
No, I'm not.
Did you break back in the day?
No. I just told you what the breakdancers were at school. They were the kids who didn't have, who banded together to find their own group. And they always were off in another place breakdancing. Everyone's like, oh, the weird kids over there breakdancing.
I just think you're a break. I just pictured you as a breakdancer.
I look at you and I see a curler. So I guess we both have projections. Yeah.
Old white guy. Now that I could do. No, I'm going to be the one that slides
you're not
the
gonna,
stone.
You're not going to use the brooms?
No, that's so much work.
Yeah,
that's way too much work.
That's true.
I'm just going to slide the stone. Yeah. Now, some of those female curlers, okay?
Uh-huh.
I think I'm down with this sport now, all right? Have you seen, like, the Swedish team?
I've seen what they look like. Yes, they're attractive women in the Olympics.
Thank you.
Yes.
there won't be a universe. How upset are you there won't be a universal DH next year?
I'm upset they're going back to 162 games. That's what I'm upset about.
You think that they should go even more?
Look, I don't know if 45 is enough to determine a champion. But hey, what are we doing here? Make it. Why does it have to be a full season? Make it 100 games. A round number. Nice round number.
162. So we can beat Babe Ruth's record.
That's great. That's awesome.
That's what we need. No, that's what we need.
What records does Babe Ruth have still?
Oh, he's got plenty of records still.
The ones people care about?
Well, not the home run record anymore, but he's still right up there.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth still got stuff. Babe Ruth was...
Beat it, Babe. Beat it.
Yeah. Who was it? Zach Wheeler. The Phillies said they wouldn't take Babe Ruth for Zach Wheeler.
It's a little disrespectful.
Well, I wouldn't take Babe Ruth either. He's dead.
Yeah, he does. He can't really help your team.
He's not helping your team at all.
When they put the trade machine, minus wins, plus wins, depending on who goes where, I feel like Babe's not going to add any wins.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm not taking Babe Ruth for anybody.
Was that in the fine print?
I might take Babe Ruth for you in an even up trade.
To run the board?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? You make jokes, but I think dead Babe would be better at than you are.
Better at running the board?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he would be too. Yeah. I would trust him more than I would trust me.
Yeah.
Well, we could have Nick come in and just move his finger around if there's any bone left.
Nick didn't even want to be around people who previously had COVID. You think he's going to want to help a dead guy run the board?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably not. Nick ain't touching Babe Ruth's dead hands. No. And probably his bones would kind of
crumble around if there's even still anything left. No, yeah. I don't think it'll work out for him.
Yeah. No, I don't think that works out. Manny said, yep, you're definitely a break dancer. I don't know why he thinks that, but okay. I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah, you both think that.
Mm-hmm. So that's about it. That's that segment.
What?
Breakdancing?
You brought it to the table. I thought we could talk about Pittsburgh really that good or the Bills.
Every show is doing
or
that.
The Bills the best team in the AFC now.
No, I wanted to talk about you breakdancing.
I want to talk about
what else? We talked about something else in this segment.
Dead Babe Ruth.
Dead Babe Ruth. We did talk about Dead Babe Ruth. Yeah. No. That's plenty for a segment.
Okay.
I think this segment tired me out.
That's another reason why you couldn't be a curler. You lasted like 6 minutes you're exhausted.
No, that's why I got to be the guy that slides it and just watches.
You think you're coordinated enough to do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's all it is a big shuffleboard.
And you play shuffleboard?
I play shuffleboard. I'm an old white dude.
God, you play golf and shuffleboard and play poker.
Yes. Yes. Poker, golf, all the white guy stuff.
Do you drink
bocce? Bocce ball?
You drink Metamucil? I'm trying to figure out how you can age yourself even more.
No, actually. I'm upping my testosterone, so I'm even going to be an even better bocce ball player. All right. Babe Ruth still owns most extra base hits in a season, 119.
Yeah, no one cares about that.
Not bad for a fat guy. That's right. Chris, thank you for adding to the show. I was going to look it up, but I don't feel like it.
Yeah, it's Babe Ruth. He's dead. What do we care?
Babe Ruth's dead, and his dead fingers would not be good on the board.
He'd still be better than you, though.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he would be. It's 10:42. News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, it's HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. These are my peeps over there. I love Mike Holly and Chris and Kevin and Chad and all the guys over there. Mike, you guys are, it's awesome. But more importantly, what they do for you in your business. What they do for you in your business is they free you up from all the payroll that you have to do. Or, you know, if you've got a company that you're not completely satisfied, a payroll company, then go with ours. They will give you a plan. They're unbelievable. And then they give you choices. They give you choices of your benefits packages, your insurance packages, your 401ks, all that stuff, as opposed to forcing, and this is what the other guys do, they force you to use theirs. That's where there's the hitch right there. But HRP offers you a selection, and you choose which one is best for you and your company, because they're not in the benefits game. They're in the payroll and HR game, and that's all they do. And taxes. They do your taxes as well. So if you're looking for that company that's going to get that job done for you, then you go to HRP.net or call 281-880-6525. It's HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. So, Dal, you bring your kids to the mall, Santa, to find out what they want for Christmas?
No, because there's always a shot that they're going to be freaked out by this man they've never seen before. And I don't like it. No, I'm not doing it.
Hmm. Well, a little kid went to see Santa. Sat on his lap, and he told Santa he wanted a gun. And Santa said, no, no guns. And he said, no, I want a Nerf gun. And Santa denied that request, said, nope, if your dad wants to get it for you, that's fine, but I can't bring it to you.
Santa's allowed to tell you what type of gift he wants to give you. And what he also doesn't know is he doesn't know if the parents want their child to have a Nerf gun, because some parents are not about that life. So I know some people are like, liberal Santa. Maybe Santa doesn't know that guns are okay in that house.
No. See, my favorite Santa is bad Santa. He just goes, he's got the kid's snot all over his face, and the kid's sitting in his lap, and he goes, what do you want? Okay, good. Now go. All right. Whatever. Yeah. Go.
R.I.P. to Bernie Mac. Great. He was great in that movie as well. Yeah, I love that movie. That's my favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah. Bad Santa's the best. And that's how Santa should be. Or like
smelling
an
of
elf,
whiskey and sausage. Get off his lap.
Yeah. Yeah. Elf is my second favorite.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Elf?
I don't like Will Ferrell movies.
No, I'm not crazy about him either. This one's pretty good.
I know. I'm not knocking Elf because it appears to be something that everyone loves. I just can't get over my Will Ferrell thing.
You have never seen Step Brothers?
Not fully. I mean,
the Santa Monica Wine Club?
I've changed the channel and it's been on.
Wine Mixer? Santa Monica Wine Mixer.
I've never sat through it. Will Ferrell, not a fan.
No, well, he actually, some of his stuff is good.
I'm not knocking him. It's just can't get past the Will Ferrell thing, so I'm not watching it. Wasn't he in Wedding Crashers in like a cameo role? Didn't he show up as the ultimate Wedding Crasher?
Yeah. Mom, more meatloaf.
And he became all sad.
Mom, meatloaf. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked him in that.
Yeah, we'll see.
But that wasn't his movie.
No, but he's actually, some of his stuff is pretty good. You'll laugh. Step Brothers is pretty good. A Peoria artist is looking for the man who commissioned him for a mural on a building on Jefferson Avenue. He says the guy told him to paint a mural on the wall. And he's not really the building owner.
Didn't you check into that first before you
Well,
go
I don't
the
know.
Process?
If somebody tells you, hey, I own this building, will you paint a beautiful mural? And actually, he did. It looked pretty good. He did a nice job. But the building owner is going to come up and go, hey, what the bleep are you doing?
Like this.
Who told you to paint on my wall?
The actual building owner probably owns multiple, so he's probably not seeing his property all the time. How long did this mural take that he completed it without someone saying, hey, what are you doing painting that building?
Yeah.
Does he have to pay the expense of cleaning it?
I don't know now. I don't know how this is going to end. Or the building owner just says, thanks. Bad. That's not bad, but guess what? You don't get no money.
Yeah, I'm not paying you for it.
You don't get nothing. Apparently, there are gang heists of PlayStation semis, PlayStation 5 semis.
Not surprised.
And it's very Fast and Furious-ish, like with a car behind it pushing it.
I'm not surprised. Those things are, it's Christmas time, and if you got those, they're limited supply right now, and if you got those to sell to people, you make a killing. I'm not surprised at all.
The trailing car houses the daredevil thief who climbs out of the moving vehicle at highway speeds and into the trailer. When the goods are found inside the cargo area, the thief tosses them back into the moving vehicle before jumping back into the car.
I love it.
That is...
It's a movie come to life.
Really is. What the bleep? Yeah, I got a picture of the guy from behind opening the back, climbing in. Wow, it is unbelievable what we won't do. How about go get a job? You know what you could do? You could be a daredevil at the in Hollywood.
That doesn't pay.
Yes,
that's
it does.
That's not a quick buck. I'm looking for the quick buck.
That pays.
You got no. You don't you have to get in a union or something? You have to be certified. No, I'm robbing trucks. That's fun, and I'll have to go through all that other red tape.
Well, what about the whole I might go to jail thing?
That's a risk I'm willing to take.
No. As opposed to getting a regular job.
These are people who...
Can't we just all work and not steal stuff?
What world are you living in that you think people are just going to go to work make an honest living?
I dreamt last night I was back at my dad's liquor store, and it was being looted. And I'm calling the cops, and this woman is stealing all these cartons of cigarettes. And I just threw them on the floor, and then she attacked me. I was like, what the bleep? Why are people... And they stole my golf clubs out of my car, even though I didn't play golf
The whole thing
pissed me off, though. Looting my dad's store.
Well, that does suck. That's an awful thing. But I don't know what world you're living in where you think people, hey, let's stay on the straight and narrow, make an honest living. No, not when I can steal PlayStation 5s and sell them. I'm going to do that.
That's not fun.
I need video. I want to see it.
Apparently, there's been a bill introduced in the Texas legislature. Brian Babbitt introduced it. It would be necessary. It's necessary requiring voters to be alive.
Huh. Is that a thing that's needed to vote?
Apparently. He says the You Must Be Alive to Vote Act is sad to say, but a necessary item that we must introduce in light of the fact that we still have a lot of problems with a lot of perception out there by half of America that we don't have an open and transparent election process. Must Be Alive to Vote Act.
And to be fair, it's less than half America because, I mean, someone won by almost 5%. It's less than half America believes that. Huh. And do you think it's going to pass, John?
Probably. This is one of those ones. Whatevs.
Yes. Fine. Enough.
You want to put a dumb statute on the book? Okay. A woman has sued her boyfriend. They dated for 8 years, and he didn't marry her. So she's taking him to court.
For what reason?
Because he didn't marry her.
That's not enough of a reason to sue
someone. 26-year-old Gertrude Noma told a Zambian court she'd gotten tired of waiting to get married to Herbert Salaliki, who promised to wed her. Ngoma was still living with her parents despite having a child with Herbert, who was staying on his own. Sounds like a good situation to me.
Sounds wonderful.
Listen, don't you want to... Are you sure, woman? Are you sure?
Yeah, you think he's the right man for you?
I mean, honestly...
Look, I can't speak to the willingness or the want to get married because it's just something I don't understand, but I know some people like want to get married really young, and that's part of the dream. But if a person tells you through their actions that they don't want any part of marriage, maybe you go marry someone who does want to marry you.
Yeah.
Why are you suing them? He clearly wants no part of marriage with you. Why would you want to be in that? So not only are you doing something dumb by getting married, you want to marry someone who doesn't want to marry you? Seems like poor logic.
Yeah, it does. You already had a kid.
Yeah. Well, first mistake.
You already made a poor decision.
You already made
there.
A major mistake. you're trying to double down on that mistake by marrying someone, and you want to triple down by marrying someone who has no interest. Feel like you're making bad life choices.
This holiday season, Del, Pizza Hut triple treat box: 2 medium one topping pizzas, 10 Cinnabon minis, and 5 savory breadsticks. Are you in?
I live by myself. Why would I be ordering that much food?
When you have me over. When I come over, we can have two medium pizzas. We can have some Cinnabons.
Let's remove the whole, that's never going to happen, because apparently my face doesn't allow me not to want you at my home. Apparently that's a thing we heard about maybe a couple weeks ago. But you're an Italian who knows good pizza. You wouldn't be insulted if I was if I said, oh, John's coming over. He likes pizza. I'm getting Pizza Hut for him.
Well, I'm not. It's not insulting. It's not
a little bit.
It's not ideal.
Yeah.
No. You insulted them a little bit. You bought Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
Well, it's not like there's Palermo's here in the city.
That's true. But you probably have found places where good pizza.
Keneally's has got good pizza. See? Star Pizza's pretty good.
See.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut is like
no.
Pizza Hut's like I'm almost trying to.
Yeah, but you can't get Star Pizza at your house. It's too far.
I got their pizza places around here. Around my house that are better. Even
Pizza King.
Pizza King's better, yes. Wouldn't it be a little insulting? It'd be like, this is what he thinks of me? Cinnabon minis? He can't even give me a full Cinnabon? And two medium Pizza Hut pizzas? A little disrespectful, isn't it?
No. A little bit, insulting. No. You were a little out of line yourself.
But to answer your question, no, I'm not doing that. That's a lot of food. I'm not doing that.
You and Dad. Is Dad still here?
He's leaving on the 15th.
Right before Christmas?
Oh, you know how my dad works. I know you never met him, but that's who he is. He used to
before Christmas.
He's been here longer than normal. He's usually only here about a month. He usually spends about 2 months of the year here in the country.
But right before Christmas, I'm out of here. Bye.
He has left on Christmas Day before. No, Christmas Eve before.
Christmas Eve?
Maybe that's too much. I usually fly to see my mom on Christmas around that time. But he has left closer to Christmas than the 15th. It happens all the time.
My goodness. Dad,
come on. I'm surprised he stayed through Thanksgiving. Really?
That's not going to be a made from a TV. That's not going to be a...
If I could write, I got a life story to tell.
No, you do. No, you do. And it's not going to be a Hallmark movie.
No, it's
not. 10:56. We're done. Sci-fi. Press Box next. Goodbye, everybody.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.